Live from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Breaking right now on KPIX 5 and streaming on CBSN Bay Area, evacuations underway as flames rip through a Contra Costa County island. What fire crews are just telling us.
Some Alameda County kids headed back to the classroom this morning. We're live with what students and parents need to know. Plus,
chaos in Santa Clara County. The wild sideshows right in front of San Jose City Hall caught on camera.
And later, BART making its biggest comeback yet. We're live with the transit agency's push to return to near pre-pandemic levels starting this morning.
Good morning to you. It's Monday, August 2nd, Dublin Keys.
I'm Gianna Franco, and already shaping up to be a busy Monday morning.
Let's get a check on weather and traffic, starting with meteorologist Mary Lee. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning to you, Len and Gianna, lovely people. We are looking at a beautiful day ahead, so get ready for pleasant conditions as we look to our afternoon. So some low clouds out there you can see on our Treasure Island camera as we kick off our Monday, the first week of August. And as we head through our day, we're going to see that sunshine and temperature seasonal for this time of year. So right around where we should be. Upper 70s for the South Bay and San Jose with that sunshine. Check out Concord. 92, warmer for you compared to yesterday. 90 in Livermore. Around the Bay, mid to upper 60s to low 70s. Around the Bay and mid 60s for the coast. Even a little bit of sunshine along the coast. Let's check in with Gianna for a look at traffic on this Monday morning. Hey, G.
Hey, good morning. Things getting a little bit busy out there on the roadways. Checking our travel times now. 44 minutes for that ride westbound 580 from 205 over towards 680. So if you're headed towards the Altamont Pass this morning, definitely slow and go. We had an earlier trouble spot at Grantline. Everything is over to the shoulder. All clear though on the East Shore, and we're not seeing too many delays as of yet on Highway 4 and 101 clear out of the South Bay. So for commuting out of San Jose so far, things are looking pretty good. Baybridge Toll Plaza though, things are starting to stack up here. Metering lights are on and just a slight delay as you work your way approaching the pay gates there, and a little crowded across the upper deck into the city. Breaking news, a fast-moving fire burning on Bradford Island in Contra Costa County.
Fire officials say they got the call around 1:30 this morning. Since then, it has burned more than 200 acres and destroyed two structures.
Evacuations have been ordered for the roughly 25 people who live on the island. Only three people have left the island. The rest want to stay. They're being evacuated by ferry. That's because it's the only way onto the island.
Fire dispatch tells us they've also gotten reports of downed power lines due to the fire. The Coast Guard and CHP are also on scene helping with evacuations. No word yet on what may have sparked those flames.
Crews were also busy in the South Bay putting out this structure fire. This video captured the flames coming out of the roof and the windows of that white building. It happened in the area of Azuray and Illinois Avenue, and it forced them to shut down. We've learned the property was vacant. The cause remains under investigation.
Kids in one East Bay school district are starting their return to classrooms today.
Yeah, students will be walking the halls of Baytech Charter School in just a few hours. KPIX 5's Justin Andrews is live at the school now. And Justin, things will certainly be different this year.
Yeah, it absolutely will. Right now, we've got some crews back here kind of setting up tables, and they've gotten some hand sanitizer. They're ready to welcome the students back inside the classroom here at Baytech. Have joining me this morning, Principal Frost. First of all, how exciting is it for you to welcome back these students today?
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much. Yes, absolutely exciting. We are thrilled to welcome all of our students and staff and community back to campus today. We've been planning for this for over a year. Mm-hmm. So very, very excited this morning.
What's going to be different for students and staff members this year?
Right. So, well, one of the things you'll see on campus is our hand sanitizing stations. We have hand washing stations throughout our campus. You'll see that we've beautified some of our outdoor spaces so that we can have classes and meetings outside. You will see that students will follow a block schedule this year. Okay. So that they're not transitioning to classes as often. Mm-hmm. They'll have maybe four or five classes a day rather than eight or nine classes. We have sanitizing kits in the classrooms for students and staff to use as they transition. We have air purifiers throughout the school in our indoor spaces and shared spaces. Mm-hmm. So a lot of safety protocols and equipment.
Certainly. So let's talk about restorative return. That's something that the district is pushing, making sure these kids are able to transition after being at home for, 16 months? Talk about that briefly.
Right. So it's a response to the mental, physical, and emotional health and support of our students. easing their anxiety and their fears, getting them ready to transition back to cooperative learning, talking about what that looks like in terms of group work, independent work, partnering work. Students have been told to distance themselves. And so, you know, creating some protocols in the classroom to get them ready to transition to in-person learning that's appropriate and safe and healthy for all of our students.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Principal Frost. Like you said, the students will be here, and school starts in about, what, maybe 2 hours or so. So we should see those students arrive here in just about an hour. I'll send it back to you.
All right, thanks, Justin. Now to coronavirus this morning. The Bay Area may be on the verge of issuing another indoor mask mandate in the light of the highly contagious Delta variant.
Right now, counties recommend but do not require people to mask up indoors. But that could change as early as today. The CDC found in a study Friday that the Delta variant may spread as easily among the vaccinated as unvaccinated. And the Bay Area saw a 32% jump in new cases from the previous week.
Many people not vaccinated, 49% of the United States not vaccinated. Now is the time.
Right now, 90% of San Mateo County residents are vaccinated. Still, city leaders and medical experts don't want to take any chances.
I don't think I ever had that overwhelming sense of relief. I'm a nurse, and I sort of expected this to become endemic. We just have to kind of follow the science and do what's recommended.
Though cases are up, San Mateo County is seeing just a slight uptick in hospital cases. Looking live at San Francisco, where new data points to millennials driving a surge in COVID cases. That rise in San Francisco is actually outpacing the statewide infection rate. In May, 25 to 39-year-olds accounted for just over 35% of the city's new monthly cases. But in July, the number went up to 50%. The Delta variant went on a tear quickly after the state opened up back in June. And it turns out people aged 25 to 34 have the lowest vaccination rates of any eligible group in San Francisco. Just over 72% had at least one shot. Two-thirds are fully vaccinated.
And some transit news as we take a live look at, some of our Bay Area bridges. We could soon see a bit of relief on our roadways. That's because despite of low ridership, BART trains are returning to a level of service that's not been seen since the start of the pandemic. BART officials say starting today, service will be back to about 90% of normal. A few folks from Walnut Creek say it's happening just in time for them.
I have company coming in from out of town. I wanted to take them to see Hamilton, and I was worried about how we would get home. So,
wait times will be cut in half on weekdays, with trains running every 15 minutes instead of every 30 minutes, and hours will be extended to midnight from Monday to Saturday. Stay with us in our next half hour. We'll be live with the BART Board Vice President with much more on what riders need to know. In a developing story, the NHL is investigating forward Evander Kane of the San Jose Sharks.
That's after his wife alleged on Instagram that he bet on his own games. Kane denies the allegations and says he will cooperate with the league's investigation. A sports marketing analyst based in the Bay Area says the case may threaten Kane's career.
This is a 10. This is short of murder. This is about the worst thing a pro athlete can do. Betting against your own team if the allegations are true.
In a statement, Kane said, even against the advice of my legal team, I feel strongly that the public and fans hear this directly from me. I have never gambled or bet on a Sharks game, never gambled, bet on hockey, never gambled or bet on any of my games, and never thrown a hockey game. Kane makes $7 million a year with the Sharks. He could be suspended by the NHL during the investigation.
For the first time, Oakland police are releasing a clue in a cold case murder. 5 years ago yesterday, 18-year-old Jordan Holmes was shot in East Oakland. Police are now sharing a picture of the car that they believe was involved in the shooting. It's a 2011 black Acura MDX. A reward is now being offered for information leading to an arrest. On August 1st, 2016, police say the teenager was shot while sitting in the front passenger seat of a car on Avenel Avenue. In a video posted by police, Holmes's mother says she doesn't want her son to be just another Oakland homicide.
A San Francisco elementary school principal has died after being injured on a camping trip. Heath Caceres was principal of New Traditions Elementary School. He sustained a serious head injury while camping. He spent over a week in intensive care before he died Thursday. A GoFundMe page to help his family has raised more than $83,000 so far. Heath leaves behind a wife and five children.
And taking a live look at San Francisco, where today the city is launching a new initiative called Street Overdose Response Team. It's geared toward identifying and following up with people who have survived a previous drug overdose. Now, those who are homeless are considered the most at risk. Mayor London Breed says in a statement, quote, "We know that overdose deaths are preventable and every person who dies is someone's son, daughter, friend or neighbor. It is urgent that we save lives by doing what we know will work best." In addition, the city is investing about $13 million this year in overdose prevention. That includes a new shelter that will open soon south of Market and around-the-clock hours at an opioid treatment clinic.